Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Price of Tomorrow: Why Deflation is the Key to an Abundant Future is a 2020 nonfiction book by entrepreneur and technology investor Jeff Booth. It examines the tension between exponential technological progress and an economic system built around inflation, debt, and constant growth. Booth argues that technology naturally lowers the cost of goods and services over time, while policy responses often try to resist that trend through money creation, cheap credit, and other inflationary tools. The book is not a technical economics textbook. It is a broad contrarian argument about how innovation, monetary policy inequality, and social stability interact. Booth uses examples from computing, automation, artificial intelligence, platforms, and digital money to show why deflation may be the more natural economic direction of the future. Its purpose is to challenge readers to rethink assumptions about prosperity, prices, and the sustainability of the current system. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, technology as a structural deflationary force. Booth's central claim is that technological progress does not merely improve products. It systematically reduces the cost of making and delivering almost everything. As computing power rises, automation expands, and digital tools spread, firms need less labor, fewer materials, and less time to produce the same output. That means technology pushes prices downward, even when policymakers and businesses expect inflation. Booth treats this as a structural feature of modern economies, rather than a temporary market cycle. The argument matters because it reverses the usual assumption that growth must be accompanied by rising prices. In his view, real productivity gains should make life cheaper and more abundant, but that outcome is often masked by monetary systems that inject new money into the economy. This framing makes technology the main engine of falling costs, while inflation becomes an artificial overlay that distorts what consumers and businesses actually experience. Secondly, why debt-based economies struggle in a deflationary world. A major theme of the book is that contemporary economies are organized around debt, leverage, and the expectation of rising nominal prices. That structure works better when inflation steadily erodes the real burden of borrowing. Booth argues that when technology drives prices down, debt becomes harder to service because incomes, margins, and asset values do not rise as easily as debt obligations. The result is a growing mismatch between the financial system and the productive economy. This is one reason he sees low rates and repeated monetary stimulus as fragile responses rather than solutions. They may buy time, but they do not remove the underlying contradiction between a deflationary technological environment and an inflation-dependent credit system. Booth uses this lens to explain recurring financial stress, fragile markets, and the tendency of institutions to protect asset prices even when the broader economy is under pressure. Thirdly, central banks, money creation, and the limits of inflation management. Booth is sharply critical of the idea that central banks can permanently manage the economy by expanding the money supply. He sees low interest rates, quantitative easing, and other forms of monetary intervention as attempts to offset deflationary pressure created by technology. In his analysis, these tools can influence asset prices and delay adjustment, but they cannot reverse the underlying direction of technological progress. This creates a recurring policy trap. Governments and central banks try to preserve stability by pushing more liquidity into the system. Yet that often increases asset inflation without solving the deeper affordability problem. The book therefore presents monetary policy as reactive rather than transformative. Booth does not argue that policymakers are irrelevant. Instead, he argues that their tools are increasingly mismatched to the environment they are trying to govern. The book's broader warning is that fighting deflation mechanically may intensify long-term instability rather than prevent it. Fourthly, inequality, social strain, and the political consequences of automation. Booth extends the economic argument into social and political territory. If technology reduces the need for human labor faster than societies can adapt, the benefits of productivity may concentrate in the hands of owners of capital, intellectual property, and large platforms. That can widen inequality even while total efficiency improves. The book links this dynamic to rising frustration, polarization, and populist backlash. In Booth's framework, social instability is not an accidental side effect, but a predictable outcome when an economy distributes technological gains unevenly and protects legacy systems instead of adapting them. This is one of the book's most important contributions because it connects abstract macroeconomics to lived social outcomes. The problem is not simply cheaper goods or more automation. It is how the gains and losses are shared. Booth's argument suggests that the political consequences of technology depend heavily on the monetary system used to absorb its effects. Lastly, Bitcoin platforms and the search for a monetary system that fits technological abundance. Booth presents Bitcoin as a possible answer to the mismatch between deflationary technology and inflationary money. He sees it as a form of hard money with fixed supply that aligns more closely with technological progress than discretionary currency systems do. In the book, Bitcoin is not treated as a speculative asset alone, but as part of a broader search for a monetary framework that cannot be easily debased. Alongside this, Booth discusses platforms and digital monopolies as a new kind of economic structure. They are powerful, scalable, and often themselves deflationary because they reduce friction and lower transaction costs. Together, these ideas point toward a future in which money, markets, and institutions may need to be redesigned around abundance rather than scarcity management. Booth also suggests that governments may eventually need some coordinated international monetary framework if they are to adapt responsibly. This topic gives the book its practical edge. It is not only diagnosing a problem, but also pointing to candidate systems that might work better in a technology-driven world. In conclusion, The Price of Tomorrow will be most useful to readers who want to understand the economic consequences of exponential technology, especially business leaders. Entrepreneurs, policymakers, students of monetary policy, and readers interested in Bitcoin. Its value lies less in offering a conventional investment playbook than in forcing a re-examination of the assumptions behind modern economic life. Readers gain a high-level framework for thinking about why prices, wages, debt, and asset values can behave strangely in a world where software, automation, and networks keep making production cheaper. Compared with many books about technology or economics, Booth's work stands out because it connects deflation, inequality, central banking, and digital money into a single argument. It is also unusually direct about the possibility that the current system is not merely inefficient but structurally misaligned with the direction of innovation. Even readers who disagree with Booth will likely benefit from the book because it clarifies a set of tensions that are often discussed separately. As a result, it works best as a provocative lens on the future rather than a final answer. If you would like to support Jeff Booth, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.